I was recently caught by a headline, "Window to Prevent Catastrophic Climate Change Closing." This was not from any fringe group, but from the long-respected World Watch Institute. From World Watch, we have the director of Vital Signs Project, Eric Asadourian, with us today. Eric, can you tell us what led you up to this startling conclusion about the climate?
Well, thanks for having me today. I would explain, in essence, the more I've done this research, I've been the project director for a few years now in charge of Vital Signs and been engaged with the project for over 5 years. And it's very clear that each year we discover that, pretty much most of the topics that we look at, from fossil fuel usage to climate change to weather-related disasters, they're all records every year, in essence. And what it's making it very clear is that the time that we have to address climate change, that compared with the IPCC reports, it's very clear that there's very little time to start to solve the climate change problems before it's too late. And in essence, what really came out this year was that more and more governments are starting to focus on adaptation, not prevention. So in the past 3-4 months, there's been several news stories looking at, for example, Canada is now investing in more patrol boats to start maintaining control on the Arctic Ocean if it starts to melt. Russia is starting to strengthen its claim on the Lomonosov Ridge in order to extract new resources, again, if the Arctic Ocean melts. And there's starting to be this moment of transition to climate change as a reality rather than as a possibility. So if that moment of time comes about where governments start saying, okay, how do we become the best off in a changing world rather than how do we stop these dramatic and catastrophic changes from coming about, This is where that window will close.
Well, I presume you're aware that the Conservative government here has openly abandoned the Kyoto Protocol, even though it was signed into law, and we're the biggest carbon supplier to the United States, not Venezuela or Mexico or the Saudis, it's Canada. Doesn't this make us responsible for taking advantage of our own climate wrecking in a way?
Well, Canada's a fascinating example. I mean, in essence, there are some countries that have a lot to gain from climate change, in possibility. Obviously, no one knows what exactly will happen, but, with the tar sands that Canada maintains, one of the largest reserves of oil substances around, with the huge access to the Arctic Ocean and those new waterways that could come about, and possibly with the changing climate, new access to agricultural lands. In some senses, Canada might want climate change. And the danger is looking at only an aspect of it and not recognizing the global suffering and possible political instability that can be generated simultaneously, so that short-sighted policymakers might actually choose to ignore and abandon the attempts to prevent climate change from coming about.
Well, your report covers a lot more than just greenhouse gases. You describe incredible growth in everything from steel to meat and more. Economists and politicians and stockbrokers say that's all good news. The world economy is growing. Why should we complain about that?
It's such a short-term perspective where, we are converting natural capital into financial capital. And if the Earth had infinite resources, that would be something to celebrate. But unfortunately, each time that we increase steel production by 3%, that means we've created many more mines, we've created much more pollution, we've created more toxins in the air. Instead of just focusing on better using the materials that are already in circulation and not throwing them into garbage dumps, but actually finding ways to better recycle, better reuse, we could have the same economic progress without the ecological problems that our current economic structure exacerbates.
You launched this report in Europe, where the summer has been really wild, and yet you focus on the United States. Why is that?
Well, I see the United States, we see the United States as the linchpin of addressing climate change. You know, the European Union has already agreed to be more stringent in how much they reduce their climate emissions, but only if the United States gets on board. China and India keep using the United States as an excuse for why they're not getting engaged in climate change, and rightfully so. They're using per capita producing much fewer emissions than the United States or even Europe. So until the United States becomes a strong leader in addressing climate change, there's no true way to solve the climate crisis. And again, there is such a short window here that the United States has to get on board very quickly, or we're not going to be able to prevent this.
Could you give us a couple of key examples of the astounding growth that's happened in the last even 5 years or so that you mentioned in your report?
Sure. Well, you name it. We look at several different categories of trends, agricultural trends, resource trends. Meat is an interesting example where even in the last year, it's been growing, in the last few years, it's been growing 2-3% per year. And is now at 276 million tons. That was in 2006. Meat production, which is often forgotten about when thinking about climate change, but meat livestock production is responsible for about 20%, 18% specifically, of greenhouse gas emissions. So it's not just when we think about climate change, we often think only about driving, heating our homes, factory emissions, but it's also just our lifestyle choice of eating as much meat as we do.
I have to ask you, what do you mean by catastrophic climate change?
There are different levels of climate change. We've already experienced some climate change, and just the emissions that we've produced now is going to affect ocean levels, in theory raise ocean levels by about a meter by 2100. It's already acidified the ocean to an extent, which is having effects on fisheries, on coral reefs. But the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, sees 450 parts per million as almost a tipping point where larger dangers of climate change really come into effect. The possible melting of Greenland, the possible melting of Western Antarctica, which both of those would raise the ocean levels by about 7 meters. So together, if those both melt, we're talking another 14 meters of sea level rise, which will have huge impacts on many of the world's countries. So that's the catastrophic element. If we hit this point where our oceans are so acidified that we lose our ability to harvest fish from the oceans in any large scale, which is a key source of protein today. If the oceans rise, displacing millions, if not billions of people from the coasts, then this will cause huge levels of political instability, possibly conflict.
I don't think the majority of people here understand the idea of a short time to act. Where does this idea of a limited window for prevention come from?
Well, what I was saying earlier, in essence, it's not only that we have maybe 5 to 10 years to start really pulling down our carbon emissions, but every new power plant that we build, China is on average building a new coal-fired power plant each week by some estimates. Each of those that are built, those have a 50 to 100-year lifespan. So that means we are more dependent on coal as a fuel source. Each major disaster, like the flooding in England, which cost $6 billion this past summer, each time we have one of those disasters, you know, the economic resources of governments are shifted towards adaptation, to fixing the problems of climate change, of weather-related disasters. The more of those happen, the fewer resources we'll have left to focus on prevention, to shifting our economy to renewable energy, to reducing or changing our food patterns, and those type of preventive measures. So really, we have such a small window because of the inertia that gets built into a system.
I know some people are going to automatically dismiss your report as alarmist. Are you sure of your facts?
Well, the facts of vital signs are very straightforward. It's, you know, we take the data that is provided through major UN agencies like the Food and Agricultural Organization, major energy organizations, and just put out the facts in two-page briefings that show that weather-related disasters, you know, the number of people affected are increasing, that meat production is increasing. The conclusions that you can draw from that, you know, as you noted, some economists that don't see the ecological side effects of economics can easily come to a different set of conclusions, which is that the world's economy is growing, and that's great. Others that think about it a little bit more and realize that population levels are growing, the number of consumers are growing, the number of cars are growing, and this is having a clear ecological impact on our Earth. So yes, I'm confident that these facts are true. As much as I dislike them, and I recognize that they sound very alarmist, but unfortunately, the facts are solid.
Is there something else you want to tell us? And also, how can people find out more about the report?
The report is available in a book form and in summary form on our website at worldwatch.org. So that's the first. And as far as other questions, I think you asked a lot of great questions. And really, this year, we focused mostly on the climate change aspect because, you know, there are 44 very different trends that we look at. Some are very positive trends, like the growth of sustainable communities and the growth of renewable energies. But we did want to draw attention to climate change because, really, there is such a limited amount of time that technology changes won't solve the problem. You know, even if we really ramp up solar production, wind power production, the inertia is built into the system, and it's going to take real political change, real engagement with the U.S. government, with the Canadian government, almost a new civil rights type movement to mobilize the people in order to make sure that the U.S. and other governments recognize that this is the most significant time in human history. I mean, I hate to be alarmist, but this, if we don't address climate change, the future of humanity is at stake.
We've been speaking with Eric Asadourian of the World Watch Institute. In a September 13th press release, Eric helped launch a new report called Vital Signs 2007-2008, which warns we are running out of time to prevent unimaginable shifts in our climate. Eric, I won't say it's been a pleasure hearing about this bad news, but we do appreciate the work you and the World Watch Institute do year in and year out.
Thanks,
Alex. EcoShock Radio. Broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.